Hello and welcome to another episode of the Essex League Cricketer with myself, Billy Roan, Alfie Taylor and Philip Marsh. Boys, club cricket's back. How are we doing?
It's been brilliant, Billy. Yeah, it's fucking brilliant, honestly. I've never had so much fun on a Saturday.
First of all, Alf, you're out of retirement, mate, already.
Yeah.
One game, you're back. You're out of retirement.
I honestly have no comment on that, but I did play. Was roped in, obviously.
Tell us about your experience. Tell us about all the protocols you have to go through.
Well, the initial one, which is something that I'll never, ever do, and anyone who does do it should be ashamed of themselves, and their family should put shame on them. You should never, ever, ever turn up in whites to a game.
Do you know what? I went over to the club yesterday to watch the Sunday. And the first thing I asked the boys was, did you turn up in your whites?
Half of them turned up in whites, mate.
Yeah, well, it was about 50-50 with this team. I think I'd do it. I think what I'd do, the comedy value, is I would turn up padded up as well.
Yeah, but the fact that you're self-aware is fine, and everyone would understand that. But there are people there turning up in their whites. I just would never. I would rather have the shittest rig on this planet and turn up and get changed outside on the square.
What did the changing facilities look like?
There are no changing facilities. You get changed on the fucking outfield. I got
changed back into my clothes by my car, but I was gutted about not having a shower. There was some right onkers, right stinkers in the club afterwards, or outside the club, sorry.
Well, we had access.
So, Phil, same sort of drill for you, was it? Turn up, quick change.
You had to text a number after the game. This is a good system that should stay. You had to text a number after the game to order your beers.
Babe station.
To let them know. Well, I text them by accident. They turned up with four Peroni. But you text the club, and then you go and collect your beers from like the entrance to the club. Essentially, they've got a little table, so you pay on the card, and then your beers are waiting for you. So you're chatting with your mates like on the outfield, like everybody stood around. You make your order, and then about 2 minutes later, you go and you just collect your beers and walk off. It's a lot easier than actually going into the bar and queuing up.
That's brilliant.
But what if someone says texts? Can I have a bottle of Cavassier and a bottle of Cristal? Phil's paying. on Phil's tab.
We're not in. It would just be
sat there a while. But there was a particular badger whose name will remain nameless. Who was out in his whites till about 9 o'clock. We were trying to get him coming to Nantwich with us for some beers afterwards, but he wouldn't come.
So I don't think there's anything wrong with going like post match whites. Absolutely fine. Post match circuit in whites, brilliant. Whatever. It shows that you play a team sport. And you've got your hands dirty. But if you turn up, right, the first thing you do in the morning, you have a shower, you get into your whites and go to cricket. That is just so strange.
I think it has been known for people to play a game on Saturday, get on the beers, and then wake up Sunday still in the whites to go again.
Yeah.
Sunday's game.
Massive respect to whoever does that. I've done it a few times. And a bit of red wine spilled down the crest, you know. It's character, isn't it?
We had to come off every six overs to wipe down our hands with flash. We didn't actually have proper hand wipes. We had flash wipes.
Flash.
My hands are peeling at the moment from the weekend.
We had Dettol wipes behind the stumps, and 1 6 went out the ground. Some woman threw it back, and we had to wipe it.
I find that rule very strange. I don't get where the ball gets sanitized every six overs. So
it's because people keep touching their face.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, but then if someone sneezed into their hand, catches the ball, passes it to thingy.
If someone sneezes, does that mean they have to go off?
Oh right.
Yeah, they have to go off for
sneeze
six
break.
There's six overs sneeze.
Do you get a sub? Sneeze up.
We actually played 12 a side on the weekend, so we played an inter club game 12 a side. Tough to find a gap.
it's coming to me now. What happened to you? and I can't believe you actually accepted it as well.
It was just brilliant.
Now, I'm going to ask you both a question. So you turn up, you get changed in your whites, yeah? Now, do you warm up in your whites? Because I think that's almost as bad as turning up in your whites.
No, there's no warming up, mate.
Oh, come on. You have a little bowl at the keeper, a couple of catches.
None of that.
My warm-up was three cigarettes.
I had a new bat, so I got a kid to throw me a couple of balls, whacked them at the fence, got told off for hitting the fence, and then that was it.
My apologies, boys. I didn't realise I was in the midst of such finely tuned athletes who've been...
I haven't been able to walk since, but my three overs off the reel, they really hurt, honestly. But the batting, how do you get on batting, Phil?
Let's do it properly. So, Phil, explain. Start off with your game. Who did you play? What was the format? How did you get on?
So I was in the second team squad. I am in the second team squad at the moment, and we played mixed seconds and thirds. There was a couple of young lads who balls looped in the air to them, and they didn't even try and catch it. So at that point, I felt like walking off. But you have to support the youngsters, don't you? But I got 50, not out. Opened up 50, had to retire to let the kids have a go. Bowled about three overs. It was an absolute pudding, mate. Got slapped for about 30, and then kept in the second game.
By the kids?
The kids. No. I was tempted a couple of times to come down the track, Bill, but you know what happens when I come down the track? So I batted properly, mate. I'm sick of playing blue bat cricket already, so I need to make sure I keep scoring runs so I can get in the ones. That's the plan. So
what was the stick, Phil?
Broke it. I took a wedge out of the pitch about third shot of the game, trying to smash one over cover, and it's broken, so I've got to go and get a new one off Spider in Stoke tomorrow.
What were you sanitising the ball with then? Was it soaking in vinegar?
Yeah, nails.
Conkers.
Nails. but yeah, do you know what? It was
How
good
the
just
fuck did you get 50?
I opened the batting, mate. It's my game, isn't it? The memories that are in your mind are probably me when I bowled and I just tried to smash the cover off everything. But as I've got older, I've mellowed out in terms of my batting and I'm a bit more sensible now. I can actually hold a bat at number six fairly well.
You could put Sachin Tendulkar's temperament into you, but you're still shit.
Yeah, the technique might not be fantastic, but I can hit the ball hard. That's all you've got to do, haven't you? You don't worry about gaps when you're putting it in the stingies, mate, do you?
No, listen, Phil, as you messaged on the group about 10 minutes ago, you averaged 65 this year. That's all that matters.
I only got out second innings because I was left. I had to score 18 off three balls and nick one off trying to hit a six. So
did you get off two balls?
I got 15 and got out off about three overs.
How old was the bowler?
15 off two balls.
How old was the bowler?
My age.
It was
such a pudding, right? I gave up trying to hit over the top. Because if you tried to go over the top, everything just went straight up and down. So I was just trying to sweep everyone. That's what I was basically playing across the line constantly. But because it was slow, you could sweep quite easily. So I just started sweeping, reverse sweeping the spinning.
If it's a pudding pitch, I'm trying to get to the pitch. To take the pitch out of the equation and go over the top.
If I go dancing down the pitch, Bill, I'm getting stumped every time. So I've given up. Mate, I've given up dancing.
If you're timing your sweeps on a pudding, mate, fair play to you, because I would have probably played three sweep shots before the ball cleaned me up.
We've had a little bit of a net. I mean, look, I'm enjoying my cricket. I think playing golf's helping with me sweeping as well, Alf.
Shut up, Phil. All that helped you with taking that massive divot out of the pitch.
Yeah. So next week we've got...
Phil?
No, I kept in the second game, mate.
Done everything, mate. You got your money's worth, didn't you?
Fucking hell.
Letting the kids have a go, but
Open the batting, open the bowling, and kept.
Do you know? No, because I quite enjoy keeping. I'm not a great keeper. I'm not going to lie. I'm okay, right? So I like to think that I'm there as a reserve, Bill. You're there as a backup, aren't you? At least you can. Yeah. At least you've got a set of gloves and a set of pads, sort of thing.
That's it, yeah.
But I'm saying that next week's proper friendly. I think another friendly for the first team, and then the league starts the week after. So we're going to get a whole like half a season in. I think we've got a couple of double headers. It should be fun. But it made me realise coming back to the club because we played at our second ground, and coming back to the HQ, if you like, everybody was on the piss. Like everybody was steaming. There was a good lot of spectators down.
Great to see.
It's just brilliant, Alf. Honestly, yeah. Everybody had a few. There was, you know, banter, having a laugh. It was just, you realise how much you miss it when you're not there. You know, do you know what I mean? It was good, good, and I'm sure that's the same for everybody.
Yeah, my experience was pretty similar, to be honest. Although it was funny. So I did get to, Pat, but before I tell you what I'm about to tell you, I will give you some context, right? So in the first innings, right?
I told this yesterday, and I could not fucking believe what you did.
So in the first innings, this bloke, I think they were like 90-odd for 7. We were playing an inter-club game, and there were 20 overs in. It was a 40-over game, so we needed to sort of manufacture some sort of game. This guy's like got run out by about 8 yards or something. He's walked halfway off, and I was like, let's just bring him back. Like, this is going to be over very quickly. Anyway, he came back out, got another 4 off 20 balls or something. So we'd all forgot about this. I came out second innings after a Deliveroo because we can't get any tea. So I panicked and got a tie on Deliveroo. half smashed that. Then I think second over, guys tickled it off his legs to short fine leg. I called yes. He just stood there. We're both at the same end. They've run me out at the other end. For naught.
The pièce de résistance is coming, mate.
For naught. Then their skipper just said, no, don't worry about it.
Oh, no.
I picked the bowls back on like WG Grace. Hit the next 3 balls for 4.
And got
54 not out 10 minutes later.
No.
Absolutely ruined some little kid's day who's ran you out. Who are you playing against?
No, it's just the first and second team mixed playing against each other. Didn't bat an eyelid though. Picked the bowel straight back up.
I was going to say, was there any part of your fault?
Absolutely not.
Nah, mate, I can't get out twice in a fucking over and get called back in. I'm just going to walk off, give someone else a go. I was retired a week ago. Let's just leave it at that.
I did walk off 10 minutes later for 50, retired. I think it was 11 minutes because I had to pick the bowels.
How many sixes, Alf?
Just the two.
All right.
Yeah, just
the
two.
Were you at Chingford, obviously, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, but it would have been a different day had I got run out first ball or first over.
What about the bit? Did anybody make it out into town, out the lads? Because about a core of 4 or 5 of us were out in town. My mate Jim woke up in his mum's house. Bearing in mind he lives in Chester now, where he lives, but he couldn't get back to Chester. He was that smashed. His homing beacon kicked in. He forgot he lives in Chester and went to his mum's house. Doesn't remember getting in Nantwich. Obviously, it's 30 miles apart now. And woke up in a pool of sick on his bedroom floor.
That's what dreams are made of, isn't it? Really?
Showers?
No showers.
Oh, mate, soap dodging.
No showering, waking up in your training gear covered in sick. Now, that is my idea of a first game night out back. But did you make it out into Chingford? Did you go into town or anything?
So I ended up going back to one of the boys' places in Chelmsford and then just got a 50 quid cab back in the morning. About a few hours later. Good work, Alf. Nice one.
£1 for every run, was it, Alf?
very good. No, so yeah, it was boozy, but it wasn't. I haven't been to a pub, so I don't really know what it's like. I've got no interest at the moment, to be honest. I'm quite enjoying the whole barbecue, drinking outside thing.
So we obviously we've all had a great time at cricket this week, haven't we? We've all loved it. Cricket's back, but for me, working from home, one of the best things this last week was watching the cricket. I absolutely loved having a game like that to watch. First one back, West Indies, England. It was brilliant, brilliant bowling attack. England was shite, but just fantastic to watch, wasn't it? What do you boys think?
I think absolutely. It's brilliant. Working from home, TV on, no one bothering you. I watch every single ball. It was absolutely fantastic. Bill?
Do you know what? I've just got the highlights on in the back. That's the first real bit I've seen. I didn't get a chance to watch any of it. What the fuck was Joss Butler doing with that catch down leg side?
Yeah, it looked like you in goal a few years back. Yeah.
It was, that's unforgivable. He's lost that test match.
Do you know he hadn't dropped a catch since 2018?
What, in England?
Yeah.
In England, sure, yeah. Yeah. Oh, fair play. But, well, it don't matter. Catches win matches.
Exactly, Bill.
I think he's had a shocker there. He's not getting any runs either.
Yeah, I was about to say, he's always had questions asked around his batting, and everybody knows he's an absolutely fantastic player, but I think maybe it might be time to give Folks a go, to see if he can do any better.
It's time to give Folks a go 18 months ago.
Yeah, well, because you argue that Butler's a better batsman, don't you? But if he's not getting runs, then there's absolutely no reason not to have a better keeper in, is there?
I don't think he's never been a better batsman in Red Bull cricket than Folks.
Do you not think?
No, he's just had better potential. That's the only thing, isn't it?
Butler
looks like a shell of a man with the bat in his hand with a red ball. He honestly doesn't look like scoring a run. And I know it's only one test, but he's looked like this for a while.
And what's going to change? He's not going to change his technique, is he?
All that can happen is the wickets get flatter.
And you don't want him to change. No. You don't want him to change his technique. So it's obviously it hasn't worked, the experiment. You try it. He's an unbelievable talent, game-changing ability. But unfortunately for him, he's come into a side that hasn't got a settled top six. They're starting to settle it down now a little bit, but Butler's a luxury player that comes in at seven when the score's 300 for five. Yeah, and that's when he can be let off the leash. When he's coming in midway through a collapse, he's a different player. So unfortunately, he's a luxury England can't afford.
What a lot of people miss this week as well is that, like, our best batsman wasn't there. He is the difference between us winning and losing that game, really. As much as you can blame it on everyone else, he still makes a huge difference there. His 80-odd runs or whatever he's going to get, 100 runs.
Well, 48, isn't it? Or 50.
Yeah, but each innings, boss.
That would have made the difference, to be honest. But fair play to West Indies, in all fairness. Like,
they bowled really that first innings.
What a bowling attack!
They were very good.
Jason Holder's wrist, my God, get that thing on ice! Fucking hell, he has had a serious lockdown with that thing.
He's averaging something like 10 per wicket in his last 12 games.
Yeah, or nice 12 per wicket in the last 2 years.
Alzar is pretty quick as well, isn't he? He's quite sharp, him. They've got a good mix, haven't they?
He don't need to bowl.
Yeah, exactly. I forgot about Kemal Roach as well. He's unbelievable.
He's one of the best at left-handers in the world. You've got Shannon Gabriel, bowls the fattest nuts going round, that nip back. They are horrible. What about Dom Sibley? You've waited all that time. How many throwdowns must he add and he leaves a straight one?
just going back to Gabriel, he looks like he's bowling a marble. He's massive, isn't he?
He holds it in all five, like all four fingers and a thumb, doesn't he? He just grabs it. He don't hold it seam up.
He looks like Lionel Richie on steroids. he's bringing back the Tash, the Mo.
Do you know what? There are about one or two really good batsmen off being a top side, a really top side.
Mate, can you imagine Shivnarine Chandabal in that side? They'd be unbeatable.
They would. They would. Probably only one, really. You're right, one batsman off.
Well, they're missing Hetmyer, who's pr- probably one of their best players.
And he's got the best jewellery on the circuit.
I was going to say, he's got the same necklace as you, Alv. He's got the cricket bat necklace, the gold cricket bat necklace.
I told you not to tell anyone about that, Bill.
What's your opinion of the keeper, Bill?
Nah.
He's
all right.
I've not watched it.
He's one of those
batsmen, you know, like the Phil Neville type, who you just look up and all of a sudden they're on 30, 40 odd, just runs
all
hard.
Keepers
just,
are like that, though,
yeah, just busy. Nuggety, busy fuckers.
Like Watling, BJ Watling's like that, like the Cox a bit more of a dasher. But I said I've not watched a great deal of it. I've just got the highlights on in the background now. And
what you must have seen, Billy, is Tino Best on Twitter.
I did see that. Yeah, you alerted me to that.
What are your thoughts on Tino?
Well, read out what he said, Al.
That's fine. Got it? Yeah, let me just...
My initial thoughts when you sent it over to me was well said. I think you're right.
To be fair, I thought he was spot on. And a lot of people will say now, obviously, after the test that... hang on, let me find this thing. There we go. Honestly, why is Archer playing for Broad? I can't read it in his accent because even though I'm wearing my West Indies shirt right now.
Phil's got that in the locker, Alf.
Because you got Wood bowling 90 mile an hour and he's just bowling the same pace as Broad. Anyway, Jofra, mid-test match, nibbled at about midnight, said, with all this knowledge, why are you not a coach? But let's give it some context. Tino has called out Jofra. Anderson was bowling 85 mile an hour and he looked like he was bowling quick. He was slipping himself to try and get the most out of that wicket as possible. And you never know what bowlers are feeling, whether they got niggles, whether they're interested, whether they woke up on the wrong side of the bed. But to me, in that first innings, Archer looked like he couldn't be bothered to be there. And some people may say that's just the way he bowls, or he's languid, or he makes it look easy. Bollocks. That when he wants to bowl quick, you can tell he's going to bowl quick. And just because it's halfway through a test match doesn't mean that he shouldn't. I don't know. It's strange from the outside in watching it. I reckon that Root knows this, and he's just too much of a pussy to tell him or to drop him. But then you see what he can do in the second innings. But by that stage, it's too late. He should have done that in the first innings.
I agree. I last summer showed it for me, Alf, against the Aussies. A couple of the games, he looked like he could be arsed. And he looked, although he still looks, as you say, languid or whatever you want to call it, and they come out quick. When he's on it, he approaches the wicket with sort of determination, and it comes out really quick. I think it's just whether he can be asked to turn it on or not. Like poor Mark Wood was steaming in, you know, jumping through his delivery that quick. He was falling over and still doesn't really have enough. I think Mark Wood's lacking a certain something, a je ne sais quoi, whatever you want to call it, that Archer has. But Mark Wood's got the determination and he's got the application. Archer doesn't have it. If you could get Mark Wood's effort with Jofra Archer, you'd have an amazing cricketer, wouldn't you? At the moment, we've got Wood who's okay, and you've got Archer who turns up when he wants to, I think. Anyway, again, I might be misjudging him. I would drop Wood, persevere with Archer, and get Broad back in.
I just think it's just a man management of Archer, because... he can do it. He certainly can do it. But why should it take Tino Best to call him out on Twitter to be bowling at his mates? Remember that he's got... he must want to... like, I'd want to knock them over, wouldn't you? Every single one of those people I would have played cricket with as a kid, and they neglected him. He's gone over to England. I would want to take every single one of their poles and I'd be steaming in to do it. But he obviously was... I don't know. He must have spent 2 hours in the gulag and he was fuming.
Didn't some West Indian... was it Dowrich said in the paper... that he wouldn't get in their bowling attack, he wouldn't get in the West Indies side. Yeah. So if you were Stokes or whoever, you'd be showing him that article if he's not aware of it already, of course. But and saying, look, these guys don't think you're good enough, mate. you know, go out there and fire him up and get him out there firing on all cylinders. Obviously, as I say, you don't know if he's carrying an injury or whatever, but it does seem to me like he's either up for it and he's aggressive and looks scary, or he just goes through the motions a little bit. And I felt the first innings, Alf, as you were saying, Billy, he just went through the motions. And you know what? You ain't gonna beat teams going through the motions at that level, are you? You've got to be on it every single day.
Well, I've not watched any of it. So, how did he bowl in the first innings? So let's forget about pace, because we know with Archer that he's say what you want about him. I think he's a clever cricketer. I think he knows what he's doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he'll assess the pitch, and he would have thought first innings, overcast, humid, just bowl areas.
But he hasn't got the control. He hasn't got the control to do that.
Yeah, he was going down leg side and stuff. Funny.
Well, again, let's cut him a bit of slack. He's not played a lot of cricket.
Yeah, true.
And I think he has got the ability to do that. I think he has got control. Like, we saw him live at Leeds when he was bowling low 80s.
Yeah, but look at the wickets he was bowling on, Bill.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what he was trying to do. Day one, day two, overcast conditions. Or day two, sorry, when they would have bowled.
I think if you watched it, you would be on exactly the same side of the fence as what we are.
Yeah, I mean, I'm only going on what I've seen with Arjun. I think he has got the control and the ability. I don't think he just runs up and just puts the ball wherever it lands. I think he knows what he's doing with the ball. I think he's a clever cricketer. I don't think you become a T20 mercenary all around the world going for millions of dollars if you don't know what you're doing, because if you don't know what you're doing in T20 cricket, you go the distance.
True.
So only my opinion, like I said, I've not watched much of it. Going into this game, I wouldn't have picked Archer purely on the fact that if they're going to go in from like all the players that played last, so that's obviously the South Africa tour. Mark Wood's taken wickets in his last two test matches, yeah, in Johannesburg and the one before that. Zach Crawley's kept his place. They've sort of gone with what won in the series in South Africa, which means Broad was the leading wicket taker. And I think you just pick that. And I think Archer waits and he comes in when in the next game.
And it wasn't a pudding, was it? But it wasn't a quick wicket. That's why I think it was a bad choice to go with. And what do I know compared to Ben Stokes, right? I'm only looking, sitting on my sofa watching it like the majority of us. So I can't, you know, I can't critique too much. But I just think that abroad, I think a clever bowler, look at Jason Holder as an example, a clever bowler who just hits the right lines and lengths and does a little bit, nibbles it around, is going to be a lot more successful on a wicket like that than, you know, picking three pace men.
That wicket did fuck all after the first day.
They've misread that pitch, basically. West Indies have read it right. They've not picked a spinner. They ain't picked the big man.
They got Ross and Chase. He took 8 for against us, Bill.
I know, but he's not picked as a spinner, is he?
No.
So they didn't pick a spinner. They didn't pick the big man, Rakim.
Yeah, they looked cold as well, didn't they, by the way, when they were sat off the pitch? They had duvets on them, basically, Bill, trying to stay warm.
England have gone on previous test matches at the GS Bowl, and it's taken spin. Knowing how they've taken wickets there, they've looked at that and thought it's going to do the same again. It didn't spin.
I was actually really impressed with Don Best. He's getting better and better every test.
Yeah, he looked good, mate, didn't he? He looked all right with the bat as well in the first innings.
Yeah, he was also unlucky in the second innings. There were two chances that he may have got on a roll if they had been taken. And then, I suppose 170 or 200 or whatever they had to chase, it's over, isn't it? Before,
yeah,
you only have to have one good partnership.
Old Trafford next, though. What's that wicket going to be like? I mean, it's rained up here constantly for the last bloody 3 weeks.
Oh, Phil, hold on a minute, mate. I've just got the highlights on, and Dower has just done what should have happened to Alf. He's got out. He's been called back in because of no ball. He's nicked off 2 balls later.
To be fair, right, in my defence, I did just try and smack the next ball. I thought, oh, well, you know when you get dropped, you just think, fuck it, I'm going to have a dip here. And, just come on.
No, I mean, I think bottom line is you've got to give West Indies credit for the win. They were the better team. England have misread the pitch. And I just think it boils down to batting. With Archer as well, you can't knock a guy who's taken three fifers in 10 games, if that was a batsman who's got 300s in 10 games, you'd be lauding him.
No, I agree with you.
I think
I
we should back
you.
Archer over... sorry, Alfie, mate.
I agree with you what you're saying, but attitude is so... It's just such an... It's infectious within a team. If you've got someone like Stuart Broad who will be absolutely pumping his legs trying to take poles, he'll bring the whole...
He was fuming, Alf.
He'll bring the whole team with him. But if you've got someone like Archer who you know is your best bowler or could be your best bowler, walking in and just sending them down like he's in training, and that's what it looked like. Yeah. It rubs off on the rest of the team.
I agree. I do agree. It's just we don't know. Obviously.
No.
England seem like they seem to be sort of sometimes they pick players on their attitude rather than their ability. Hence, Keaton Jennings getting fucking 10 games of cricket for England. he's picked on his attitude. Yeah. So they obviously have a firm grasp on players' attitude and. The mindset. So we don't know. He might just be, he has got that Caribbean. He's obviously Asian. He's got that relaxed attitude. But you're right. Sometimes you just want to stick a rocket up his arse and think, just send them down there. You know, like if West Indies needs what they like 100 off whatever 105 weeks left, you just tell Mark Wood and Jofra Archer go in and bowl at 95 miles an hour for 3 overs. See what happens.
Yeah.
I'm not sold on Wood unless it's a quick deck. I think he's too up and down, even though he's fast. I don't think he does enough with the ball on
it's,
a slow
it's strange,
deck.
Strange though, because in South Africa he did do a lot with the ball, and his reverse swing, when he gets it reverse swing, he is deadly.
That's what I was about to say. Obviously, they can't shine the ball. Again, misread it as well, because you're not going to get any reverse swing when there's only one pitch that's been cut out at the square, because there's been no cricket this year. Lush outfields, overcast, damp conditions. You're not going to get any reverse swing. But I think that was their way of thinking was, let's get Wood in because we're not going to get much conventional swing.
Just try and blow them away with pace.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, no, try and get a bit of reverse swing.
Right.
So more importantly, on Test cricket, why aren't they playing boundary bowls or doing laps? There's no one out there. Like, surely there's never been a better opportunity for... I'd love to see that. Imagine, like, Sibley's just left a straight one. He's got a long day, right? Get out there in your flip-flops and start playing boundary bowls. Maybe give Shannon a bit of a spray on the boundary. A bit of reverse psychology.
I'll tell you what, I did see when I got in yesterday, I saw West Indies needed, like, 50 to win or something. And I did see Stuart Broad walking around the boundary.
Arms crossed.
With... No. He might have shouted out bold Jofra when he sent one down the leg side. But he had the Andre Agassi or the Rafa Nadal white bandana on.
Strong look, isn't it?
But he was a bit shy about it because he had the hat over the top of it. He wasn't sure.
He did take it off afterwards. There's a few snaps of him. But to be fair, Ben Folkes looks the best in it, doesn't he? I know Phil's going to call me out on this, but he did look the best with the headgear.
Yeah, he's a model, isn't he? He's a model.
Great locks.
So what about the batting? And we've done the bowling.
Don't elaborate on that, Phil.
Well, it's been quite a serious cricket discussion, really, because I guess we're all excited the cricket's back, which I'm sure most people that listen are. So we're into the
Jofra.
Batting. Yeah, apart from Jofra, but we're into the batting. I think Denley has had quite a few chances now. He's a bit scratchy. He's okay. Is it time? I know Root's going to come in.
Yes, it is.
Is it time? Yeah, is it time to unleash the Lawrence? When are we going to get to see
that? He ain't going to play.
Do you not reckon he's going to play?
I don't get it. Root comes in, Denley goes out. That's it. Crawley just got 70.
Yeah.
No, that's it. He ain't getting a game. Well, unless someone gets injured. But as I said, you two foot him in the warm up. What would Johnny Bairstow do?
How is he going to get in? When's he going to get in? Because he's not been picked for the one-day squad, has he, I noticed, as well?
They got Tom Banton and Jason Ryan. Fucking...
Phil, he can't be picked. From what I read on that one-day squad, it's like the players that are in this bubble are not in there. So I'm sure they'll add to that with...
Ah, right.
I don't know, but they're two separate groups of players. So... yeah, I don't know whether, because obviously there's no captain now. I don't think Butler's been picked in that one day squad. So I don't know whether you've got the test bubble and the one day bubble.
I'd still be amazed if he got into that side.
Oh, I'm Morgan captains anyway, didn't he?
So do we think Crawl is looks like he's got he's got it and he's here for the long term?
I think he looks good. He looks solid. Plays a short ball well. Like they're that's a very very good bowling attack and score runs against them second innings.
He did. I was relieved that even international cricketers can fall into the try to flick one off your pads on a pudding and loop a leading edge up to the mid off.
I'll tell you what I do like about him, and not enough England players do this. I've just seen a few clips of him now. Fair play to him, and rightly so. Get rid of the part-time spinner. He's dispatched Royston Chase. I think he's always fours off Royston Chase, yeah? That guy's about five. He's not a frontline spinner. Mitchell Santner done it to England, where he's controlled the tempo, but going at like two and over. Dispatch these part-time spinners.
That is one thing that I will not miss, is Denley patting back a shit off spinner. Because, yeah, fair play to Denley. He did a job for England when... over the last couple of years, he's done a decent job. He's won us games.
He's done really well.
But honestly, you can't be having shit off spinners like Ross and Chase being patted back for two and over. Fuck that.
Well, that's what Sibley does as well. Sibley doesn't look like the handiest player against spin. He's paying back a lot of shit.
I reckon that they are decent players of spin. They're just so scared of getting out. It's refreshing to see someone.
It's pressure, maybe, Alf.
Yeah, it's just so refreshing to see a youngster come in like Pope as well. He does care, but he will take bowlers on, and that's what you want to see. To an extent, when there's an opportunity to take bowlers on, take them on.
I think we're going to be going through a bit of a transition period over the next couple of years. Maybe we shouldn't expect too much out of England team for a bit.
I think that batting lineup now, once Denley goes for Root comes in at four, like Crawley to bat at three. I've said for the last couple of years, if you can't find a number three, you pick another opener to bat three. Yeah. And you have three genuine openers at the top of the order. You're then taking out that initial 20 for three stage that England have always had the last 2 years. Yeah. But he comes in and bats three, Root at four, Stokes at five, Pope at six, Folks at seven, when they, you know, they finally realise that Butler is a white ball cricketer, the same as Bairstow. Bairstow is a white ball cricketer. He's nowhere. He doesn't deserve to be in that Red Bull team, in my opinion. Yeah, and then all of a sudden you've got a top seven there. That could be England's top seven for years. Yeah, and then in the bowling, there's no problem with the bowling. The potential's there. I think the transition's already been made. Yeah.
You've
already how many more years we're going to get out of Jimmy and Brodie? Probably two, and maybe next summer might be the swan song.
No, I mean, you've got plenty of good bowlers. Like, you've got Chris Wokes, who wasn't even mentioned. He's a top bowler in England. Yeah, then you've got Sam Curran, who's always done well for
Ollie Robinson looks really good, I think.
Ollie Robinson bowls quick. Saki Mahmood looked like he bowled quick in the club game. Ollie Stone is sharp.
So what you're saying is don't worry. It's a bad game, difficult wicket, misread it. It looks like all the ingredients are there.
And
you're
the
just waiting for it to
fourth,
come together.
Fifth best batsman in the world wasn't playing, who scores all of our runs. So you add him into the mix. We're not talking about this. England are brilliant. Well, not brilliant. We'd still be trying to put Denley on a chopping block. But yeah, on to Manchester. And I'm sure we'll bounce back with a victory.
I tell you who was sorely missed, though, for me, or has been missed all summer. I used to love, obviously, working on the road and stuff, listening to Test Match Special, and I'm missing Blowers. We've got Aggers, but I am missing Blowers.
Blowers? What's that?
We've got no Boycott either now, either, have we? He's gone. So we've lost Blowers and Boycott in one summer. And let's face it, Boycott was frustrating to listen to, but in a weird way, it was quite enjoyable to listen to how frank he was. Like absolutely slating people. It was. It's good. I think they'll be missed.
Who's your favourite on the radio, Phil?
I like Aggers. But I used to love Blowers. Blowers' way of describing cricket was was quality, wasn't it? And he's gone.
Beautiful. It was beautiful.
Beautiful. I'm enjoying Michael Holding. I enjoyed his insight into West Indian cricket. I know you hate it. You're not a big fan, Bill, are you? But I enjoyed Ron's.
Ron's. Wow.
Well, I mean, he could spend half hour talking about how good a batsman he was, Michael Holding.
Funnily enough, go on.
No, and there's always big enough gaps. There's always a gap in the field that shouldn't be there.
I'm not a massive Dominic Cork fan. I don't. He, as far as pundits go, I'm not a massive fan of his analysis.
Rob Key's one of the best. NASA's brilliant.
I like Rob Key. I'll tell you who can do one. Who is a bumbling? He's the Hugh Grant of cricket punditry. Nick Knight can do one. He's a bumbling idiot.
To be honest, I have no opinion on him.
Well, Cookie's good to listen to. Sir Alistair was on Test Match Special, and I think he's still in the game, but he'll be a brilliant commentator for years to come. He's fantastic to listen to. He really knows his cricket, doesn't he?
He's got a hint of Hugh Grant about him as well.
It's just posh, Bill. It's just because he's posh, isn't it? If you're posh, that's how you have to talk. It's not that you can't get your words out. They're just that difficult to pronounce them in that way. You have to stumble.
Right. Yeah. Enough of who we think is a good fucking pundit. On to the questions.
Alfie could probably cut that out, to be fair, mate. I just wanted to give a shout out to Blowers and how much he's missed.
I'm sure he'll be missing.
Enough about you, Blowers, on the road, mate.
I'm not a truck driver.
My dear old thing.
Right, on to the questions. We got Grant from Twitter. I've played cricket for 20 plus years now, but I'm still undecided on the best way to spend time during a rain delay. Can you inspire me? So we had a bit of rain, didn't we, at the start of the test match, which pissed everyone off, I'm sure, because you've waited all this time to watch live cricket, and there they are. Umpires are out there with the brollies. People just don't know what to do during a rain delay. And I think it's really important that, I don't know, I've always thought that it's important to make sure you look like you're having more fun than the opposition. No matter what you're doing, you could be playing cards, you could be playing 1 hour, one bounce. You don't even have to be doing anything. Just make it look like you're having fun.
It's the fucking most frustrating part of cricket, mate. When it starts raining, I hate it. I'm too old to play 1 hour, one bounce now, and you can't drink. It's just purgatory, isn't it?
Yeah, but it depends on the match situation, mate. If you're getting pumped all around the ground, and you've had a bat as well, you batted for first.
Cheers, fellas.
Happy days.
Can you get on the beers? Can you get on the beers if it rains?
If it looks like it's a washout, you can. I think it's acceptable.
Yeah, but then, like, you always get that one hero, don't you? Who's he doesn't listen. He just goes straight on the beers, and he looks like the hardest man in the world. He's got his first pint of Stella in, and everyone's going, "Oh God, you've started early, haven't you?" And then he goes, "Well, yeah, I'm a geezer, aren't I? Yeah. I'm mad.
As he slapped the dinner lady on the arse as she walks past, is that the type of guy we're talking about?
Probably, or he's had a pop of the umpires. And then he said, "Oh, fucking umpires, didn't call it off." And then the umpire's behind him, and he goes, "Oh, so, hello, umpire." Shits himself.
And then someone becomes a statistic at about 10 o'clock that night.
Yeah. No, he's home by seven. He's on the beers, but he's home.
So do you think playing games during a rain delay a thing now? Or is it just better just to sit there and talk shit?
No, it's the kids that do that, Alf. It's because we're not kids anymore. That's why they're not a thing.
There's room to chuck a Nerf ball around. If you can get a decent game of tennis ball cricket, I still think there's place for that.
Well, to be fair, I'm bringing back poker.
You raise a good point, Phil. Because last time I was involved in a rain break, I was under 30. Yeah, so I think now at 36, I don't know if I could be chucking a Nerf, whatever it is, a Nerf like grenade around and playing. I'd feel like a bit of a dick actually, because no doubt, if I'm going for the diving one-handed catch, the hammy's going to go. The hammy's going to ping. Yeah. And and I'd be playing around with a load of kids. You just wouldn't do it in any other form of life, would you?
No, like, you'd end up looking like Jimmy Savile if you did it outside.
Exactly.
Noted.
No, I wouldn't be joining in with the 18-year-olds playing football. Yeah. And they're all sort of running rings around. I wouldn't do it, would I? But in cricket, rain breaks, is it acceptable for a 36-year-old man to come back and start diving across the change room, taking out all the kit bags just to get that catch?
I've got to say, if he's
so you're gonna have a bat.
If he's been playing 20 years, he's probably our age, Bill. To be fair, if you think about it. So you just get a brew on, mate. I'm bringing back gambling. I remember as a kid, the first team is when I was a kid. My dad and his mates, they always used to play like bridge or something like that. But we're the poker generation, aren't we? So I'm going to start bringing chips and get some proper gambling going on to make some money during the rain break.
No, poker sets are like they are like mini coffins, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, true.
So you could look like you come in and you've got your cricket bag and you get the poker set in the other hand.
Yeah. I think that's what you need to do. I think you need to do something slightly less energetic than one-on-one bounce or throwing a nerf ball. Get a good brew on if you can't drink at this stage and have a game of poker.
Actually,
or something,
yeah, that's
mate.
Underrated, isn't it? Just a nice cup of tea. You really appreciate a nice cup of tea at the cricket, don't you? Especially when the urn's hot.
Hopefully the test cricket's still on in the corner so you can keep an eye on the test and that's still going, not been rained off wherever they are. Get the poker set out, have a game of poker, get the opposition in, take some money off them.
What's the buy-in, Phil?
Oh, you can't go mad, can you, Bill? Maybe £5.
£5.
Yeah, because there's always some tight git who starts kicking off. The type of person who's not paid his subs, hasn't brought any sub money, but has got £20 in his pocket to buy one round of drinks and then poured ponce off everybody for the rest of the night. I know who that is at our club, but there's always one like that.
Go on, call him out.
No, I'm not.
I'm not.
I can't call people out, but there's always one in there. One of our lads came out without his wallet to the first cricket game of the season. Yeah. And he said, "Oh, I was intending on going home, lads." He had about 15 pints, mate. He had 15 pints. He was absolutely smashed. He didn't buy a single pint.
15 pints.
He was smashed. We went out into Nantwich afterwards, didn't we? We all went out in our full tracksuit, full tracksuits, look like right bellends.
Well, so you're 35 years old going out in a full tracksuit, but you won't play one bounce in the changing room. Yeah, brilliant. Nice one, mate.
Full trackers.
So it wasn't a female. Was it? I've never known someone to not have any money on them and end up having 15 drinks.
No, it wasn't my ex-girlfriend's, mate. No, it wasn't. But it was one of the lads. But yeah, £5. Make sure you bring your £5 if it's going to rain. Have a buy-in, maybe even bring a couple. Have a game of poker. It's quite a laugh, quite a skillful game, and it passes time quickly. That's what I'm doing.
Listen, Phil, if the game gets rained off early doors, you can up them blinds because you ain't playing full match VAR.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And let's face it, if you do get rained off, you can carry on with the poker and still drink.
Yeah.
If you're enjoying yourselves, you know what I mean?
So there you go, Grant. If you're over the age of, what should we say, 30?
27.
Yeah.
We'll go with 27 then. Basically, you're not allowed to throw a ball around. You can't play one-arm on bounce because you're a pedo.
Nah.
Yeah, if you wore kickers in school, you can't play one-arm or wallabies.
And don't do a casino royale and throw your car keys into the pot.
Grant, that's that answered for you.
One more. There is Tinder nowadays as well. One of the youth team will always have a Tinder, won't there? So you can piss about on people's Tinders for half an hour, but that's got a limited time.
Are you on Tinder, Phil?
Not currently, Alf, no. No.
Any of those?
Go for the 1 kilometre away.
I'm still doing it old school, going out in my Nantwich tracksuit, chatting birds up, pretending I play
Any
for
luck?
England.
Any luck, Phil?
No comment.
Fair play,
Brilliant.
Mate.
Yeah,
36 years old, I'm still nicking birds in your Nantwich tracksuit, mate.
You should have seen the state of the pub.
And no shower.
That's the worst thing about it. I am. Sunday League football, I'm the only lad who showers. All the youths, they get covered head to toe in mud and then go to the pub baked in mud, mate. Tracksuit bottoms over it, jeans over it. younger generation need to get a grip, mate. Get in the shower. Nobody's going to look at you, Willie, and nobody's going to feel you. Get in the shower and have a shower, you dirty little gits. The shocking.
No, but what happens is, we all know that this has been said for years, but you get in there, you get pissed on, and you get stuff chucked at you. So, and then when you get out, someone puts a load of shower gel in your hair. You got to get back in there, and then someone locks the door and chucks your kit on the square.
That's what I'm saying. If they haven't had a shower, they've never experienced holding the shower gel above somebody's head and constantly pouring the shower gel on it until they realise about 30 seconds later.
Our overseas player, right, and I won't name him, but he actually said, and this is what happens in showers, for any communal showers, if anyone wanted to know. One of the blokes has a decent sized pipe, right? So he's held it. And someone said, "What are you doing?" And he goes, "You're not a real man unless you've held another man's peg." Oh, no, that's it. You're not a real man until you felt the weight of another man's peg. Oh, Doz, you were brilliant, mate. questions. We got another question. Stuart. This is a bit off topic. Are cordial ratios at drinks as important as they are to me? As important to you as they are to me? So I know, Billy, you have real issues with your drinks breaks, don't you?
I don't like squash, mate. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I don't like it. I don't like plastic cups either.
What's your deal with plastic cups?
Well, I don't mind disposable ones. I know it's not good for the environment, but, you know, the I don't know what...
You mean the plastic tumblers? Like you give to a three-year-old?
Well, I was going to say that I don't know what the fascination is with cricket clubs buying cups that they would give to their 18-month-year-old baby. We've got to drink out of them, yeah? But, again, it's one of my quotes. They never truly get cleaned properly. They're always sticky. They've always got bits of grass on them, yeah? So I refuse to drink out of them. But I don't like squash anyway. I have a bottle of water.
The cordial ratio is very important, mate. There's nothing worse than a watery orange juice, or even worse, a watery black currant.
Why is there never coffee at the at cricket as well? I've just thought about that. Why don't you get a cup of coffee on the go?
There is coffee.
Is there?
Yeah, there's always been coffee.
I've never seen a cup of coffee at a cricket ground.
It's a bit of an ass, though, isn't it, to get a brew on the go, drink your hot brew and then get back out, Bill.
Again, I'm not a big fan of instant coffee. I mean, we all remember being at school. We all remember the school teachers having instant coffee breaths.
Oh my god! It brings back
memories. But I wouldn't mind a little espresso tea.
Would you? Just nail a double espresso.
A little macchiato.
Get pumped up before you go out to
a little macchiato and a biscotti.
Billy's gonna have a whip round for an espresso machine.
I'll be like Alf. I'll have a double espresso. I'll be running down the wicket first ball to get me that quick single.
With enough energy to put the bells back on.
Yeah. Well, I'll have enough energy to have a second innings.
But to go the other way there, Phil, if cordial ratios go the wrong way, if you get too much cordial and it tastes like jelly and it's 35 degrees, 40 degrees, and you go and you can basically eat it. That's the worst feeling. With no ice in it.
I don't understand, though, Alf, because we've all been making cordial for about 35, 40 years. Well, at least 30 years. So surely by now you know how to get the ratio of water to orange right.
But they do it by eye, don't they? They don't measure it. They do it by eye. And if they do it in a different vessel every time, then you're fucked. If it's narrower, then you're just all over the gaff. The vessel's important. The vessel's important.
The science of cordial ratio. Well, yeah, because if vessels.
Right, let's say you put ice in first. You're fucked, didn't you? If you've never done that before.
Oh, fuck it. If you're getting ice in your drinks, that's posh, isn't it, really?
Alf, here's a good way of putting it, right?
Go on.
Take Adam Zampa, for instance, yeah? If he loses his cup, mate, that coffee's game over, yeah? That measurement of coffee beans grinded to go into that cup is perfect, yeah? If he loses that cup, that brews, that's fact.
So do you think
it's
that
not what you're saying with the vessel.
That should be the way for all 22 cricketers and two umpires?
Like you said, there should be a standard squash-making vessel.
With a line drawn on it where the perfect ratio is.
Exactly.
But yeah, your idea of perfect may be different to ours, so you need to
Also, you have to weigh up the fact as well, Alf, that, again, coming back as a 36-year-old man, yeah, I also wouldn't be drinking orange squash out of a plastic pink spotty cup either. You know what I mean?
Billy's been in the garage on the way and picked up four Lucozades, and he's not pissing about anymore. He's loaded now. He's on the Lucozades.
Yeah, and some Colombian Nespresso pods.
Phil, don't tell me you go in your kitchen. You've got like Robinsons on the go.
No, I'm water, mate. Water or coffee is what I drink.
Alf, or beer. You got any fruit and barley in the fridge?
I'm not going to lie to you.
Oh,
I do have cordial in there, but I never use it. Some French thing. I don't know.
Do you know what's underrated, sticky, actually? A tropical cordial rather than an orange juice. I think a tropical flavours are underrated in the summer.
Nah, mate. Absolutely not.
Tell a lie. I've got some Chambord in there.
Okay. Some cassis.
I've got some Chambord to go out some bubbles. But that's the closest I come to a bit of cordial.
I think it's very easy, Stuart, to get cordial ratios wrong. And rarely, rarely do they get it right. And it needs to be cold. It needs to be drunk out of a decent vessel. It needs to be poured out of a better vessel.
Oh, Alf, just quick question for both of you, actually. Have you two ever seen any game changers on the circuit that go with like a forest fruits or a summer berry instead of the bog standard orange?
Not a fan, mate.
Or a nice strawberry and kiwi.
Oh, a strawberry I've got a lot of time for, Bill, but that's expensive cordial, you see, isn't it? Yeah, that's another thing as well. It's got to be proper stuff. Don't give me fucking quick save, no frills.
Yeah, so
you know.
Quick save, mate. It'd be fucking out of date for 25 years.
Give me some Woolworths own.
We're not asking for a lot. Oh, a bit of Kiora wouldn't go amiss now and then, you know what I mean?
What's the best brand? What is the best brand of cordial, though?
You have to go to Home Bargains for Kiora.
Actually, do you know what? They had a lime and mint one that I had in Sydney once, right? And that stuff was fucking unreal, mate. Honestly, when it's 40 degrees.
Sounds like it should be a mojito.
Huh?
Just some Malibu on the go, Alf.
Well, it depends. If you get it with crushed ice, honestly, I reckon that's a game changer.
Fucking hell. Well, I get one of those Tango Blast machines in the club. How many Tango Blasts do you reckon would be poured before there was a vodka in one of them?
Oh, piss. Oh, fuck's sake. I think that's done us, isn't it? Stuart, I hope we've answered your question there.
Yeah, Stuart, if you're over 15, mate, leave off the cord and have a tea or something, or water.
Yeah, no, well, actually... Bring your own bottle. Has anyone got a Chili's bottle?
Oh,
they're fucking brilliant, mate. You can leave it out in the sun for 24 hours. It's still cold. So everyone get one of those and you wouldn't have to queue up for a shitty drink.
I tell you what, one of my clients actually, fuck Chili's, get on the Brew bottles. BRU. They're better than Chili's. Amazon.
No, oh, look at that.
Cheers,
buy one.
Cheers, Bill. We'll put the link.
Probably about 45 quid.
We'll put the link on Twitter.
15 quid up in there.
Oh, we'll have a lot, won't we?
Brilliant. All right then, gents. It's been emotional. We've got another test to do next week, so I'm sure we'll have plenty of fodder to fire their way.
Yeah, of course, we're actually playing a different team other than the third team this Saturday, so it should be interesting. I think they're putting the blue bats away.
So next week's episode, we've got two proper games of cricket, no inter-club games, no 2020s, you both involved, yeah?
No picking the bowels back up.
Proper abuse of the opposition. I when I made the 7-year-old cry last Saturday, I felt a bit bad. So,
well done, mate.
can we have some more tea orientated questions? I quite enjoy them.
Yeah.
We had a good 15 minutes out of orange juice there.
Yeah,
really.
it beefs up our podcast a bit. We can talk about orange squash quantities.
Right, guys, thank you. Keep the reviews coming. We'll speak to you soon. Cheers.
Cheers, everybody.